But were you in it before the split, and you just happened to be the?
We came right before the split.
Okay. So you're like, hey, great, nice to be here. Now we're splitting.
Right. Well, there's been a bunch of people. Then we're like, wait, where'd they go?
Adam, of course.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to session 3. You made it.
10:30. Wow.
10:30 p.m. This is just slow for my. Okay, so this is session 3 of Midnight Madness. You are in Give Leaders 101, helping your class give away life. This is where you intended to be. Yes. All right. Okay, so Adam and Chris will guide you through this. As you can see that they are lively. I think we're going to survive. We're going to
bring the energy.
Well, actually, we're going to start off by doing a few laps around the track.
Yes,
so.
We are at a rec center. excuse me. I mean, if you haven't signed in, I'm going to just pass this around. If you signed in, just pass it on to the next person. If you have not, please sign in. But we're going to get started, and I'm just going to ask for a volunteer to lead us in prayer. How about that?
Yeah.
Does that work? Awesome. Anybody, can I get a volunteer? Anybody want to lead us? All right, thank you.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for guiding us, you know, up until now, Lord. We just pray that you would guide this session led by Chris and Adam, Lord, that we would just learn more about how to give our lives away, and that you may guide us, Lord, wherever we are, to just, you know, Lord, just live our lives for you.
These great minds.
is this going to be too shiny for you guys? there's been like one or two times in my life where I've been videoed for something, and they do have to kind of doctor this up with some makeup. It's a little rough. So you want to kind of run that?
Yes, I will run this. Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
So this is kind of cool, small, little intimate group. So it sounds like. So who's all on Summit in here? Everybody. That's interesting.
Boom.
Isn't it?
Yes, it
like,
is.
Like Mark has said before, maybe you need to get in singles ministry. And I'm like, well, whatever. So it just kind of happened just now, I think. that's pretty cool.
Indoctrination.
So we were talking, like, there's a couple people from 114. Anybody else? 114, anyone? Or what about the Bloodwurst? Any of y'all have the Bloodwurst as a teacher? You guys do? Yeah. The
Pierce's, Hollister's.
Yeah, there's some cool folks in that ministry. So,
hello again, you've been here.
So, you know, the theme tonight, it's funny. I told some of y'all that we kind of had an idea of what we wanted to do, and prepped for it all week, and then today we just kind of said, no, we're going in a totally different direction. So, and Mark kind of helped us decide that, which was. Because what he said to me, you know, we had tons of Bible verses just about following Jesus and the commands of Jesus and what did he command us to do and how do you live that out. And Mark came in and just said, you know what, just tell stories. I mean, tell stories about, because we've had this theme lately about, hey, we want to say yes to God. We want to be people that say yes. You know, because every day, you know, someone comes to us with something really cool, you know, that has to do with the kingdom of God. And, you know, when I first started trying to follow Jesus, I think my default answer was no. You know, because think about it. I mean, just the culture we're in. I mean, the first thing that comes to our mind when someone asks us to go serve or to give or whatever is our laundry list of busyness and the worries of life and blah, blah, blah. So, it was actually Mark led a group of single guys through a discipleship course this summer. Mark Kohler is a teacher in 114, and is also my business partner. And he asked me to come speak on the first night, and once again, I never feel like I'm the right guy for the job, but, you know, God did something that night, because I was reading a book called Ventures in Saying Yes, and it was a book about overcoming fear. And having more faith and just saying yes to God. So I talked about that night, and I kind of went through the moments in my life where, you know, it was kind of a fork in the road moment, and it was yes or no, and the times I said yes, and then what God did. And man, it just blew up into this amazing thing where all the guys in that discipleship course the whole summer were just talking about yes moments. Hey, I had a yes moment. I had a moment where I did it. I said yes, and here's what God did. And it was just really cool. So that's kind of the theme of tonight. It's adventures and saying yes. We're going to tell some stories about, you know, when we said yes to God and what happened. So that a lot of that is going to be our focus this evening. So I'll just start and tell you about me first saying yes to Jesus. Very late in life, I was 30 years old. And, you know, spent 30 years of my life just living like the rest of the world, having fun, you know, doing a lot of things I shouldn't have been doing. Just really living a selfish life. And I'm very grateful for the fact that God brought me to my knees at around that age. And he did it in a couple ways. I was having trouble in my marriage, and I was having trouble in my business. And, you know, have any of y'all seen, what's the movie we just watched? War Room.
War Room.
Y'all seen War Room?
Yes.
So you remember the moment in War Room when that guy said to himself, I'm not proud of the man I've become. Remember that moment when he kind of said that and God kind of crushed him and it really kind of led him to repent?
But don't give it all away.
I don't want to blow it for you. Anyway, so I had one of those moments in life. That's the short story. And I had a great coworker that was constantly just inviting me to church. And I said yes. That was my first yes moment. So I was in this church for 4 years, and I was really up in the rafters, kind of the cheap seats, you know, just kind of taking it all in. It's just kind of a scary place. It's a very cool, inviting place, but at the same time, it's a bit overwhelming, you know. It's like, I'm trying to figure out this Jesus thing, and here I'm in a room with thousands of people. And it was great, but 4 years went by. And my next yes moment was when a guy in the gym here asked me, hey, why don't you come check out our Sunday school class? I still call it Sunday school. Okay. And
old school.
And that was kind of an intimidating thing, too, because it's like, okay, man, you want me to come to, like, this small class with all these people that are all buddies? I mean, that was it's like the first day of school all over again. Have y'all ever kind of walked into that? So it's a little scary. But I said yes, and I got into a Life Bible Study class. And that's really kind of where my faith journey started to take off. Because you guys know, I mean, if you're just a face in the crowd here and you never meet anybody and never get plugged in, I mean, it's hard to really take the next step of faith. Because, I mean, you need people in your life that challenge you, that give you opportunities like that. So, got into a Life Bible Study class. So, I'm sitting in there going, okay, this is cool. This is where the action is going to happen, because I'm kind of a guy of action. I like to just get after it. And the first thing first opportunity that came up was, okay, so there's this thing called the Houston Project. You guys know it now as Houston 1-8. And our class is assigned to North Central Baptist Church. And I'm like, wow, okay, so we're going to go out to another community and do this thing. This sounds pretty cool. And we're assigned to this class. This is when it starts. You know, this is what we're doing. So that was my next yes moment. I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I showed up on the first day. Something very interesting happened that day. I get there, and I started looking around, and there was nobody else from my class there. And I was like, where are the On the Verge guys? And the people looked at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, it turns out nobody came. And so that kind of took me down a path, or right there, I kind of started to see a bit of a disconnect. You know, we've got a lot of Life Bible Study classes in this church, and someone will get up there, and they'll go read a list of announcements. You know, this is coming up, and that's coming up, and here's an opportunity to serve. And it kind of goes in one ear and out the other, especially with us, who are in, like, young married or adult one, where we have kids, and you know, y'all think you're busy, and I know you are, but it kind of goes to another level when you got some other kiddos, and they got a bunch of stuff to do, and it's like it's a wild life, but it's really fun. So I just saw a disconnect, and I was like, okay, you know, we're hearing these things and there's all these opportunities, but most of what this class is doing is like playing golf together, or the girls are having a mani-pedi party, or, I mean, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Social stuff is cool. But we're going to talk a lot about, I think, there's no way to build community like getting in the trenches serving together. I mean, that's making disciples, that's discipleship, that's building community all in one. But anyway, so my next yes moment was, I would like to be the missions coordinator of our class. So I stepped into that role, and then I kind of became, for about 10 years, I was kind of like the, come on, guys, here we go. Let's do this. You know, I was rally the troops, you know, communicate very clearly opportunities to serve. And then, you know, really what it came down to is personal phone calls a lot of times. Because, I mean, emails, almost worthless. Necessary, don't get me wrong. But there's got to be more follow-up than that. Class announcements, same thing. Still necessary, but there's got to be more follow-up than that. I mean, discipleship's got to happen one-on-one, face-to-face. Hey, let me tell you about this great opportunity coming up. I think you would be great in this role. And that's when people will really kind of wake up and step out in faith. So, next say yes moment. How am I doing, by the way?
You're doing fine.
Am I cool?
Yes.
Went on my first short-term mission trip. This is a big step for me because my whole life, I grew up in Missouri, I moved here in 89, and the only place I ever went was I flew to Houston, which, you know, was just kind of crazy. I never thought I would live here. But so I went out on a limb, and I said yes, and I want to go on a short-term trip. And back in the day, our church went had a short-term mission trip to Acuna, Mexico. I don't think they do that anymore. They definitely stopped for a while because of the border issues. But so a bunch of us jumped in a van. We rolled down to Acuna, Mexico. And I saw poverty on a level that I had never seen before in my life. I mean, I know we have poverty here, but it's just seeing people live in a house made of wooden crates. I mean, and not just one, but like a whole, like, town of them. I'd never seen. I guess I knew that kind of stuff existed because you'd see the commercial on TV for the price of a cup of coffee a day. You know, you can help these people way over here. But that was the extent of it for me. I had never just experienced that. So that leads me to the point of short-term mission trips are absolutely awesome because I feel like you've got to get out of Disneyland every once in a while and see how the rest of the world lives and see the need. And I mean, there's a lot of need here too, but trust me, you get into another culture and you see poverty on another level, and it changes you. I mean, it's good to get that perspective. It's crucial. So one night, me and four guys we're sitting there and we're talking, and once again, we're talking about the fact that, first of all, we had never experienced anything like this before, and we were talking about our life Bible study class, and we're like, you know, something's missing. You know, I know, you know, we've got great friendships developing. That's cool. You know, we do some cool things together from here and there, but there's something missing. There's a disconnect. Once again, it's that disconnect I found with the Houston 1-8 example. And the cool thing is from that short-term mission trip, those four guys that had that conversation until 3 a.m. that night all morphed into, one guy became a teacher, one guy a Bible study teacher, one guy became a missionary, another guy became the men's minister at a church. It was neat as a class to go on that trip, to get outside of this, you know, see another culture, serve the poor, and then challenge each other to, hey, you know, we're not going to do church the same way that it's being done right now. We want to, following Jesus looks different than this. And that was just a really cool moment for us. So the next say yes moment, Mark Kohler walks into my office, my business partner and a deacon at this church. And he says to me, Chris, I really think you should take this class on Wednesday nights. It's 3 hours long. It costs money. There's textbooks and homework, and And you can, you know, it's a seminary class. And, you know, MedLink on Wednesday night, I mean, you can take, what, 50 different classes for free that are only an hour long? So I looked at them, I'm like, that sounds terrible. And that's exactly what I said. I mean, that's a terrible idea. And he's like, I'm telling you, you should think about this. It's a good one. And he hands me a brochure for a class called Perspectives on the World Christian Movement. And I said yes. Didn't want to. But once again, I mean, I feel like God presents things to us all the time like that. And there's a part of us that just wants to say no. And if we'll just say yes, watch what he'll do. So I said yes, and Roy's taking this class. Adam's in it right now with my wife. And basically, and it's going on right now, and any of you guys can come in there Wednesday night if you'd like to. It's in the reception room that's right by the chapel that's being renovated from 6:30 to 9:30. And the class is all about God's heart for the nations, God's heart to reach every tribe, tongue, and nation, strategies to do it. Every week, different missionaries and ministry leaders come in and talk about stories of God's power and miracle that's happening all over the world. Stuff you never see in the news. The news is all gloom and doom and ISIS this and this guy got beheaded. You don't hear a lot of stories of hope and what Jesus is doing and churches multiplying. And that's what this class is. It's like, how would you describe it?
Changes your view of your faith.
Did you ever have your mind blown? Like, wow, 3 hours just went by?
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. It's just the coolest thing ever. So that was a say yes moment that led to really a global missions, love of global missions for me that has led me to some pretty cool places. And once again, I just want to be clear. As I share these stories, look what God did. This is not look what Chris did, I promise you. Because Chris didn't want to do most of this. And now I'm talking about myself in the third person. So I did not do that. Every one of these stories, I was like, ooh, that sounds scary. Or, man, that costs a lot of money. Or, no, I mean, that just sounds weird. But I just want my default answer to be yes. And then I might say no. But it's a big shift from your default answer being no. And I know a lot of people in our church like that. It's like, you want to give to this? No. And then they may not give it another thought. Hey, there's a great opportunity to serve. No, too busy. Man, we got this mission trip coming up. Oh, no, that place is scary. You know, it's like, we got to get away from that. I mean, it's one thing to go looking for something to do. Like, man, I want to serve. I want to do. It's another thing when God brings you something. If something falls into your lap, look into that and be ready to say yes to it. And then definitely test it and get counsel, pray. But so we're still cool?
Yes.
Okay. So perspectives got me asking, okay, God, I know you have this task to be completed. And go ahead and go to that next one real quick. Just hit, yeah. Okay, so this was two big takeaways from that class for me, okay? One is Matthew 24, 13 and 14. Big perspectives verse, right? So I didn't really know that I knew Jesus said go make disciples of all nations, but I didn't know that he said this. But the one who endures to the end will be delivered. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And by the way, that word nations is ethne, which means people groups. So don't think of countries, but, you know, a country like Pakistan can have 40 different people groups in it. So the good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So you want to know when Jesus is coming back? Nobody knows, but here's a good indication. When every tribe, tongue, and nation is reached. Does God use us to reach them? Absolutely. Can he reach some of them himself? Absolutely. People in Muslim nations are having dreams and visions and coming to Christ without the help of anybody. God's doing it himself, but he certainly has given us a task, and he wants us to be a part of that. So that's one thing I learned. And then the second thing I learned is I saw the Great Commission a little bit differently, because I knew the part of making disciples of all nations. I knew the part about baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But the part I missed in this was the part that says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. That's really interesting, because Jesus did command us to do a lot of things. You know, I mean, can you think of anything that Jesus commanded us to do? I mean, make disciples is an obvious one. What else?
Fast. Neighbor.
Love your neighbor.
Sabbath. Sabbath, fast.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. Yeah, he talked a lot about our responsibility to the poor. Our responsibility to the widow, to the orphan, right? Love your neighbor, certainly. Give away your possessions. I mean, he gave a lot of commands. And then he said, you know, if you love me, you will keep my commands. So that was just a really interesting thing that I never noticed before. Because as we make disciples, we want to teach them to observe everything Jesus commanded, to be like Jesus, to follow Jesus. It's not just about saying a prayer or going to church. It's literally about learning who Jesus was, what he did, the kind of people he hung out with, who he was hard on, who he showed mercy to, and how he ministered. So I've really just, you know, that really challenged me to really study the Gospels, really study his life, because a disciple will become like his master. And that, I mean, we'll never be Jesus, we'll never be to that level, but as we are, you know, as sanctification happens, we will become more like him. So, last but not least, perspectives, once again, heart for the nations. This is stirring in me. I start helping facilitate the class, and I'm asking the whole time, why have you entrusted this information to me? What am I supposed to do with this? And that led me to start a business with a friend of mine called Spero Trading Company. Spero is spelled S-P-E-R-O, and it means hope in Latin. Because what him and I were asking ourselves was, okay, we know that God's going to reach all these nations. We know, you know, you can do research and find out what the unreached nations are, where they are. But what about the really hard ones? Like places that, you know, are scary. Places that maybe missionaries can't go, or if they do go, they're, you know, instantly in danger. So that led us to start a business. And because we were asking God, you know, we have a heart for these places and we want to go, but we, you know, how can we go? So he came to me with an idea. What if we start a business? And basically the whole business model is we go into these nations, we find out what they're good at making, we build a relationship with the people that hand make whatever the item is, and we offer to sell it in the U.S. as a means of first of all, getting into the country, but then also building relationships with the people there. So it's you've heard of business as missions. This is a form of that, but it's a little bit different. So we took a trip to Turkey just to kind of test this out, because and we picked Turkey. We made a list of 30 countries, and basically we ranked them by how unreached they were, how hostile they were to the gospel, and then what was their human development index, which is basically how underdeveloped they are. No, anybody want to guess what the number one country on that list is? It's up there, but not any others.
Haiti.
No, because Haiti is not necessarily unreached. No. These are nations that, I mean, less than 2% are would say they're Christians, and there's really no churches. Number one on the list is Somalia. So Somalia is a very dark place that is very hostile to Jesus, and almost no believers there. So we were going to start in Somalia, and then that, you know, we went, kind of wanted to get our feet wet first, so we started in Turkey, and we started running around the country, and it was wild. We were jumping on planes, taking one-way flights to places we'd never been, renting cars, driving around, and we came out of there with about 9 relationships, 9 different families that made really beautiful things like rugs and pottery, and it was just really cool. So we started. We built a website, and we started just to sell what they made as a means of building a relationship with them. And we've been doing that for 2 years now. We've shared the gospel with several of them. We have missionaries in the area that we've connected with that are now representing us to these people. And we got a big yes from God that, hey, this could be a good strategy. So the next place that this led us to... I thought maybe we'd move to, like, so we started with number 30 on the list. Maybe we'd go to number 20. But instead, God led us to jump all the way to number 2, which was Pakistan.
Sure.
And, you know, you hear that, it's like, ooh, you know, that's like Zero Dark 30. Like, that's where we got Osama bin Laden. That's like really scary stuff. So we found out kind of what that country's known for, and they're known for leather and something called Damascus steel. And so we found a family that made that, and we connected with them over the web, and we started selling their products. And it started going really well, and there was a lot of Skyping, there was a lot of email and back and forth. So obviously the next step is time to take a trip. And that was a big faith moment for me, you know, because it's one thing, I've been to Haiti, I've been to South Sudan, I've been to Central America, but this was Pakistan. This is the bad guys. This is the, you know, the Fox News, you know, ISIS control, Taliban, this and that. Like, you know, I'm an instant target. That's my mind working, right? So I get my visa in 2 hours because I went to the consulate here in Houston, and when I told them I wanted to do business with their country, they rolled out the red carpet for me. It was amazing. So this was a big say yes moment, because everybody I told that I felt God was leading me to Pakistan talked to me like I was going to my death, honestly. It was like, oh, Pakistan, you sure about that? I mean, is your wife okay with that? I mean, every conversation was like basically nice knowing you. I mean, it was wild. But I still went. I mean, and it did get to me a little bit, but I really felt like God was clearly leading. And I'm gonna make a long story short. I experienced the favor of God in that country like I've never seen in my life. Not only were they not my enemy, but I've never been shown so much love and respect and treated so well in my life. That's my main man over there. His name is Rustam. That's his company called Raj Cutlery. Basically, what we're doing is we're selling really cool hunting knives. And we're in Redneckville here. I'm a bit of a redneck. I mean, it's the perfect product for Texas from Pakistan. And Rustam is a member of a family that's got about 52 people in it. They all live in the same community. We stay with them for 9 days. It's the only country I've ever been to where nobody had a handout. They only gave. Everywhere we went, it was like, it was almost uncomfortable. Like jewelry, leather jackets, we're paying for your hotel. One house we walked in, women were dropping rose petals as we were walking. And it was crazy stuff. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, love your enemy, right? And I thought I was doing that. Well, when I got there, I realized these guys aren't my enemy. I'm actually bringing hope to them, because Pakistan has 190 million people in the country. There's about 4,000 Taliban is the most recent estimate. And they basically have one small part of the country on the Afghan border. The rest of the country's suffering as a result. Nobody will go there. Nobody will do business with them. Everywhere I went, they did ask for one thing. They, you know, whether it was a cop, a government official, a soldier, or a family, the message was the same. They would look me in the eye and they would say, please tell your country we are not terrorists. I mean, they were desperate for that message to get out. So that was a big say yes moment for me, because it would have been real easy to say no right there and to say, you know what, that's too dangerous. I'm going to let fear win, and I'm going to stay out of that one. But instead, I said yes, had my mind blown by what God did over there. I mean, I was in the governor's mansion at one point. I was in a meeting with the minister of commerce, acting like a U.S. diplomat. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, what if these guys find out I'm a nobody? I mean, this is crazy stuff. I was invited to a fashion show, red carpet event. I was interviewed on live television. I mean, it was just nutty stuff. So I'll just sum up here. I was in 25 different families' homes. I mean, everybody just wanted to, like, spend time with us, and no one was asking for anything. It was just, can I take my picture with you? Can I give you a hug? Please, eat in my home. It was wild stuff. This is Arfan and his wife, and that's Kasim back there. And they just, I mean, some of the best people, and they're all Muslim. They're all Muslim. They asked me if I was Christian. I said yes. They were okay with that. They asked me what I thought of Islam, and I just said, hey, I have a lot of respect for you. I mean, I kept it that simple. And since then, we've had a lot more conversations. But once again, I'm not in a position to debate them. I'm trying to show them honor and respect and love on them really well. And we've made this family wealthy now. That's the wild thing. Like, the business has worked so well that they bought their first cow. That was a big deal. And then they slaughtered it. And actually, something you might not know about Muslims, that they're actually very giving. They gave half of it to the poor. It was really cool. But it was a very big deal. And what Rustam has said to us many times is, you've given me such respect in my community. People are stunned you are here. And so, anyway, say yes to God and watch what happens. There's a little buddy that I made. I was walking down the streets of a town called Wazirabad. And this is a cool picture because, once again, I went to love my enemy, right? Well, my enemy treated me better than people here treat me. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, what a culture and what loving people these are. And this is a huge banner that's hanging up in their town now, okay? And there's a bunch of elders, and there's a bunch of the next generation and the sons. And this is Rustam looking all debonair. And right in the corner, there's two bald dudes from America on the sign. So it's just like, what? So I guess the point I just want to get across is, like, if you get an opportunity like that, pray about it. Don't get me wrong. Seek counsel, but just be ready to say yes. Because God can use somebody like that. Because I have a small printing company here. I mean, for 30 years I lived completely selfishly. I'm fairly new to following Jesus, just in the last 10 years. But God's just given me an ability to say yes, and then he just blows my mind by how he works through me. It's just really cool. So that's just the first message I wanted to get across tonight. So now I'm going to turn it over to my brother over here. Hopefully I didn't talk too long.
No, that was awesome. I think one thing you'll figure about us talking here is that actually I think we complement each other very well. And, you know, my story is quite
different.
Does
that mean you ramble less than I do?
Maybe a little. No, I mean, Chris and I come from completely different backgrounds, actually. I mean, Chris was not raised in church. I was. I've been in a position where I should have been saying yes to Jesus throughout my entire life. I mean, that's if you're raised in church. I mean, then that's sort of what we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily where I was or where I come from. I'm going to talk about my background in just a minute. But just real quick to bolt on to what Chris is talking about, and saying yes as it pertains to missions, because, I mean, sort of the goal of this mostly is to talk about sort of how, as classes, we can be more missionally oriented. But I think prayer is a big part of that, too. And so I'm going to talk about some of my big yes moments when I sort of tell my story, but a lot of my yes moments center around prayer and the power of prayer. So I'm going to hit on that real quick. But just to continue on this incredible missions journey, you can do incredible things in missions right here. Chris touched on that earlier, but, I mean, this man has been to South Sudan and Haiti and Pakistan and Turkey and, what am I forgetting? Costa Rica. I mean, I've been on one international mission trip, and it was to Central America. So, I mean, nothing like this. But Chris approached me, and this will become more apparent when I tell my story, but my life's been radically altered in the last year and a half. And about a year ago, this guy asked me very just sort of casually, hey, do you want to come and serve breakfast at the Star of Hope? Anybody know what the Star of Hope is or where the Star of Hope is? So Star of Hope is a large homeless outreach ministry in Houston. It's been around for 109 years, and it's got three large facilities. And they were going, he and a group of guys were going and serving breakfast at the Men's Center downtown about once a month. Nothing big. Go show up, 6:15, slap some grits and some powdered eggs on a plate, throw the plate at them, have a great day, man.
Food's pretty bad.
Food's awful. We've tried it. And you're out of there. Simple. Right? Well, that was a big yes moment for me because, I mean, I haven't hung around too many homeless people in my life. And it's just one of those things like, go serve home. Oh, okay. And it just, I had a sort of like, one of those moments like, spirit wanted to say no. Flesh wanted to say no. But it's just like, no, I'm going to say yes. And the blessings that have come out of working at the Star of Hope and hanging out with the guys there. Because what happened was is that this group of guys, and I think it was probably a little bit more inconsistent in the past. There have been, you know, some guys that would come and serve a little bit, and there was a couple of guys that were really consistent, but a couple of new guys started coming, and it sort of just started morphing, and it turned into, that was really cool. Let's go every other week. And then very shortly after, man, let's go every week. And then one week, I remember we had, because you really only need like four or five guys to serve in the cafeteria line. And one week we had like seven guys show up because we had some more guys. So we're getting the word out. And so one week we had like seven guys. And we decided to go out there and just like actually hang out and have breakfast with the guys. I mean, we didn't actually get a plate, but we just went out and sat and started talking. And just started striking up conversations, you know, looking them in the eye, remembering their name, talking to them, asking them where they've come from, what's your story, what have you been through, what, you'd be surprised how much they opened up. And this has been months ago now. And I think we have a couple of pictures we can show about where these relationships have gone. Because, I mean, we went with a couple of guys to see the Star Wars premiere from the Star of Hope. I'm running a marathon with one of the guys at the Star of Hope in a month. Chris and another guy, another friend, are picking up guys and bringing them to First Baptist for church every Sunday from the Star of Hope. And it's not like, oh, we're doing something nice. These are our friends. These are guys that we're living life with. And some of them have some incredible, incredible stories. Some of them have some absolutely heartbreaking stories. Some of them, as we've known them, we've been walking through life with them, and then they've fallen off the horse. You know, they've gotten back into drugs or whatever it is. So they're tough relationships. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, you might have your heart broken, but you want to have an interesting, transparent conversation with a guy. Try sitting down and talking to a guy that you have no ability to talk about your work experience or your work relationship, really. Most of their families are, you know, they've lost them, you know, just from their circumstances. You know, it's a pretty regular thing to hear that, you know, a guy's had to sign away the rights to his kids, or, you know, his wife has left him, you know, third wife, second wife, whatever. Many of them have served time in prison. You know, I talked to a guy on Thursday that had been in prison for 20 years. And once you have that kind of thing on your record, I mean, you're not just going to be able to just jump back into life real easily. So not to drag this out too much, that for me is, I mean, sitting right here under our nose, and it's really changed my perspective on serving. And serving really the people that Jesus would have described as the least. Because these guys, I mean, it's prisoners, poor, kind of all, and orphans, really. I mean, a lot of them just don't have a family, they don't have a support system. It's all of that wrapped into one package. I mean, all these guys are totally broken, and they just need relationship. They need somebody that's willing to look them in the eye with dignity and care for them and love them. So that led to us talking about how can we get our family. I mean, for those that have kids, I mean, we have kids, and it's like we want to see our kids coming alongside of us and serving in this way. And so they have a family center. And so that led into starting to bring our kids along and going and serving snacks at the family center at night. And again, all stuff that's right in our nose. And we've had incredible groups go. I mean, it's a mixture of families, you know, singles, people from his work, my work. I mean, it's just sort of this conglomeration of people that just want to go and just love on these folks.
You know,
interesting picks here.
I hope you're hearing a theme. You know, what we're really trying to encourage you guys to do, not only, you know, I'll explain that one or let Adam do it. We're trying to encourage you guys. We want you to take a risk for God. We want you to step out of the walls of this building with your classes and do something crazy for Jesus. I mean, if you, once again, I kind of see two things happening. I see people that believe in Jesus, and I see people that follow Jesus, right? And both are necessary, don't get me wrong, but following Jesus really looks very differently than what we see a lot of times here on Sunday, right? And I mean, it looks crazy. I mean, this stuff doesn't make sense. I mean, so I we picked up this guy from the homeless shelter, and I dressed him as Obi-Wan Kenobi and took him to Star Wars. It's nutty stuff. It is. But it's so, I mean, it's such a, man, life is just so, never been more fun. It's such an adventure. It's just, it's wild. And it's just really, once again, just studying Jesus' life and just looking at what he did and what he said to do, and then just trying to do it. And trying to say yes, and just trying. It's an obedience thing. It's a love of God thing. It comes from a gratitude of what he did on the cross, and now, wow, God, you did that for me? Mm-hmm. How can I do anything else with the rest of my life but serve you? I mean, that was amazing. So that's where this is coming from. You want to tell me who this guy is?
This is Fitzgerald Montgomery, that's a presidential name if I've ever heard one. And Fitzgerald, thanks to Chris, is now the biggest Aggie fan out there. He's decked in his A&M gear every week.
But he did start out talking about the Aggies a lot.
But, I mean, so there's something because, you know, my wife has started, she's gotten real involved in Charm, and there's something about
prison ministry
interacting with the prisoner, with the poor, with the orphan, the people that are totally broken and have nothing, that it just changes you. It changes you in a way that I wish I'd found out a long time ago.
You know all the people that our culture wants to avoid or maybe is mad at or just the outcasts of our society? I mean, that's exactly where Jesus wants us, in my opinion. That's exactly where he went. That's who he hung out with. He was hardest on people like us, right? There was a lot of woe to you to the Pharisees, the people that were religious, right? And he went to guys like this, and he showed mercy and love. Now, he did say, go and sin no more. But he led with relationship and love and mercy and forgiveness. And, man, if you can just get out with your class and find some people like this in need and just go and show them a little dignity and respect and love, I mean, I think Jesus would just really, you know, he'd say, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, that's where he wants us to be. I mean, you know, hanging out with the people that everybody else has forgotten or has turned their back on. And that's, here's a perfect example. The one thing that Fitzgerald has not checked into the program because he doesn't want to give up his drinking and his basketball buddies, but he's starting to read the book of John a little bit, and he's starting to ask him questions. And his prayer request is, please pray that I can just stop hanging out with knuckleheads. That's what he is. So that's what I pray for him. Keep him away from knuckleheads. So,
just real quick, I'm from a church background. I grew up in church. And it's real easy just to get into periods of time where we start checking the boxes, and church becomes routine, and sort of that fire that we have when we first ask Jesus to take over our life, it wanes. And I know we're all on a journey, and you know there's peaks and there's valleys, and I guess one thing that's really hit me, because just sort of just compress my story a little bit. You know, my yes moments, my big yes moments were leaving a family behind, leaving a family business that had been in my family for almost 100 years, and moving to Houston and sort of taking a chance. And then even just the way that we ended up coming to this church and getting connected here and leading a Bible study for a while. I mean, those were all big milestones for us. But even seeing God move in some really powerful ways, we ended up here. We've been here for a few years, and I found myself back in a pretty extended period of just doing the routine and just, you know, a combination of work and hobbies and, you know, friendships, which were good, but they weren't those strong friendships that were about spreading the gospel. I mean, because at the end of the day, we can have great friendships, but if the really the crux of those friendships, the thing that binds those together are hobbies, they're not going to last. And so I found myself in a pretty lengthy period of just checking the boxes. And really what happened was, over a period of a few years, my relationship with the Lord just basically dried up. But thank the Lord that he continues pursuing us even when we go into those valleys. And he decided to wake me up by presenting me with a brain tumor a year ago that was extremely serious, and was presented with a situation of potentially facing some severe memory loss. And just the journey through that was pretty amazing, because it was just a peace that that all was going to turn out okay. But what I want to sort of make a point about as it relates to our Bible study classes and how we interact in a more powerful way as an LBS class is that one of the most powerful things around that whole situation was seeing a group of people that said yes, really, to just dropping everything they had and everything they had going on at a moment's notice and rallying around us, and in prayer, in meals, in just any little thing. The night before my surgery, unannounced, we had 50 people just show up to pray. And it was a powerful night where the Holy Spirit did some really wild stuff. You know, like one person was praying this, and another person prayed the exact same thing out loud, and he said word for word what was on my mind. Just some really weird, awesome Holy Spirit stuff. And it just struck me at the time, like, wow, I had been sort of in this period, and I have a couple of a verse that's meant a lot to me, and a quote, but I'd gotten to this lukewarm stage, which were really actually, that's like the worst place to be. I mean, God actually, he prefers to be cold over lukewarm. I mean, and this is where I fell.
I like the analogy of coffee, right?
Yeah.
So it's really good if it's hot, pretty good if it's cold. If it's in the middle, it's pretty useless.
It's a Revelation 3, yeah. I will spit you out of my mouth. So, and really, there's a lot more to that story, but I want to get to the point where we actually talk about how we can apply this as a class. I will say this. This Francis Chan quote I absolutely love. When we want God and a bunch of other stuff, then we have thorns in our soil. And y'all remember the parable of the sower probably. There's several different types of soil, and I think that really as a church in America, a lot of believers are soil that have thorny, they're thorny ground. The relationship with God cannot grow when money, sins, activities, sports, addictions, commitments are piled on top of it. And that's what happened to me, is I even had a good period of my life, a peak where I'd said yes, but then we get complacent and stop saying yes. We can go into a really deep valley and hopefully we get out of it.
Guys, it's hard to follow Jesus here.
It's so hard.
You know, I heard John Piper say once, it's probably the hardest place in the world, honestly, because, I mean, there's just so much competing for our attention. And, you know, I think it's so important. And you know, the goal is for our Life Bible Study classes to be this, but the reality is you got to even go smaller than that. I mean, you got to find 4 or 5 people that you can get together and that can help you live this out, that can challenge you, call it accountability, call it just somebody to that you can confess to and tell them what you're struggling with, or they can ask you, hey, are you in the Word of God? Or someone that could, you know, like my business partner who's always throwing crazy ideas about kingdom stuff and how we can serve. And I mean, you got to find those people in your life because...
I think it's really calling you to this.
Yeah.
It's calling you to chase after God. Because at the end of the day, if you're chasing after God, and another Psalm 63 is like my favorite. And if you just look at the words that David used in that psalm about what his longing for God looked like, what he was doing, he was earnestly seeking, thirsting, longing. Your love is better than life. I cling to you. I think of you through the watches of the night. If we're in that place, missions, prayer, all these things we're talking about, saying yes, just flows out of that so naturally. If we stop, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but no, that's absolutely right. I mean, we have to be in a place where even if we just have 1 or 2 people, we're even going to say, how's your walk with God really right now? Is that your passion? Is that really your passion, is to see God's name glorified and his name renowned among the nations? Because if it's not, then you might be saying rest, but yes, but it'll be for the wrong reasons probably.
Well, let me ask you a question. As you read scripture, the book of Acts, the Gospels, whatever, Paul's journeys, is following Jesus easy? It's really hard, actually. Now, it's really fun, and it's the coolest thing ever, and I've never had more fun in my life, but it's also very hard. I mean, there's things that Jesus said that I read them, and it's like, how could I possibly do that? Like, I mean, it's tough. So you need that group of people around you to help you stay on mission. You need that group of people around you to help you stay on the narrow path. I mean, it's just I think about my life and that inner circle that I've had. They've really had a lot of influence on me, and I've made some major life decisions based on who that inner circle was, who were my brothers in arms, you know, and those used to be bad decisions, and then it morphed into, you know, having guys like Adam in my life that could call me up and be like, "Hey, man, where were you last week? I mean, you missed out," and challenge me to not make excuses, not, you know, be lazy, not, you know, miss out on what God's doing. I mean,
I can never have his haircut.
Yeah.
It's not going to work anymore. Sorry. I think we need to get to the not this one.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Right here.
This one.
Okay, so this is kind of what we're talking about. This is a short little 4-minute video. Any of you guys know Francis Chan?
Has anybody not read Crazy Love? Not read it.
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
Just past 4 weeks ago.
Does that win?
It wins.
Yeah.
Wait,
right?
Remember?
Yeah.
This? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll give that away. So maybe that can be the other one.
That's my own treat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just, you know.
It's a game changer, Roy.
What he does is he said, you know, if I only had this book, and I appeared on this earth, and I only had this book, like, what would my walk look like? It'd probably look a lot different than what we see in our church today. So, yeah, you'll love that, and I highly recommend that book as well. So let's just hear from old Francis before we part ways tonight. I hope. Maybe we won't hear from him.
No, we will.
If I just read the scriptures, I wouldn't even think so much about the gathering. You know, like my first thought would be, let's have a gathering. Out of the scriptures, I would think, I'm on a mission. Like, I love this God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and now I've got to go out and make disciples. That's what I would think. I need to go out there and just reach as many people as I can. I'm supposed to teach them to obey everything that God's commanded. That's what I would get out of Scripture. And then what would happen as I did that, what I believe would naturally happen is suddenly I would find those other people who are on that same mission, because we'd be the weirdest people on earth, right? We would stick out. We'd be so different, and that pressure to always stay on that mission. Everyone else would be beating me down. So I would actually need these brothers and sisters in my life and tell them, hey, don't let me slow down, and I won't let you slow down. We've got to stay on this mission together. You see, this is why I wasn't into fellowship before, because I didn't need any more friends. Okay, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, you know, let's just get another gathering so I have someone to talk to. Like I didn't need accountability groups so that I wouldn't sleep around or whatever it was. I can do that on my own. Not sleep around. I don't need that to do American church. I don't need fellowship. But to stay on mission every day, I need people, because I'm going to get distracted. There's so many things I would rather do than make disciples. Mm-hmm. And so I need people in my life to tell me this. That's what I would get out of Scripture, is I had to go out and start making disciples. And as I did that, I really believe that I would start gathering with other people doing the same thing.
See, that's what like in the last 10 years, you know, as I've been in Life Bible Study leadership, that's just been the goal, right? And it's hard. It's real hard. And I don't know how it is in singles, but it's real hard to get married adults to step out and have that kind of focus. I mean, but do you understand, you know, kind of what he's talking about there and what we've been talking about, just people in your life to help you stay on mission? Following Jesus is the ultimate goal. Love God and love your neighbor. Follow Jesus, obey all he commanded. And it's hard, it's not easy, but it is worth it. It's the most exciting, adventurous, purpose-filled life you could possibly lead. I mean, God has just blown my mind the last couple of years, just the way he has used some of us. And man, he uses like ordinary people. So just don't, I mean, there's no, whatever you think your limitations are, just don't put that on God. I mean, he can do amazing things through you. So I hope we've encouraged you tonight to say yes more often. Okay? And I think that.
Well, there's some great local opportunities you can say yes to. And, you know, some of these we've touched on tonight. But, I mean, anything you have a passion for, anything, you're going to be able to find in Houston, Texas.
The nations
are
here.
We've got everything.
The least of these are here. I mean,
from homeless to, you know, refugees to the faith center to serving widows to serving orphans to prisoners to this thing I hear is incredible, this poverty simulation. That will also...
Yeah, look at Mission Waco.
Mind.
It's really cool. We did it with a bunch of y'all singles, actually.
Trafficking, something my wife is really passionate about. My wife actually probably needs to be here teaching with Chris. She just landed in India about 2 hours ago. global opportunities. I mean, the church has some incredible connections with some global opportunities as well, which would involve, you know, a short-term or potentially a long-term trip.
So the bottom line is, guys... and we definitely want to talk about that, but we're going to give you our contact info at the end of this. If you need to know how to plug in, either locally or globally, we have a lot of opportunities we can talk to you about. We can get you connected. Yes, ma'am?
No.
Oh, just so you absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to help you. We you know, I wish someone would have given me a little bit more guidance when I first got into this, because... I mean, there is a world of opportunities out there to serve God. And it's right here in our city. It's awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and just, you know, the serving is huge, but just remember Psalm 63 and remember that any class, prayer's got to be just such an essential part of that. That really, for me, the heartbeat of any class is going to be how much prayer is happening in that class.
Devote a whole class to prayer.
Once absolutely.
The whole hour. Just say, you know, on this day, we're going to come in here and we're going to pray for an hour.
That's right.
Mix it up.
That's right. Fast together, pray together, and pray that God would give you opportunities to say yes. Anyone. Literally.
Yeah, I mean, the disciples were, I mean, God
misfits.
Picked the most ordinary guys he could. And did miraculous things through them to show his power. So if you think that, hey man, I can't do this stuff, think again, because you can use anybody to do anything. And if it seems overwhelming, and you say, well, I don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Start somewhere.
Do something.
Maybe you start by serving in the church. I mean, who knows? Just get out and just take a risk for God and watch what he does. It's pretty cool.
But if you can take a small step that involves engaging those type of people we were talking about, I think it'll really change your perspective.
So throw our contact info up there. Reach out to us anytime if we can help in any way and get you guys plugged into local ministry or global missions. We'd love to help.
But we have to do that card again.
Yeah, so this has to happen.
Yeah,
I think the gift card should go to our other buddy that didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't get crazy love, so you get the gift card.
Yeah, do it. And I'm just going to pray for you guys before we leave, just real quick. So, Lord, we do just lift up these awesome singles that stuck it out tonight. They said yes to a 10:30 class,
mm-hmm.
which, trust me, sounds probably crazy to most people. And I'm just thankful that they were here. I'm thankful for their hearts. I'm thankful for their life Bible study classes. Lord, please equip them to be amazing leaders in those classes, to challenge the people in their classes to say yes to you, Lord, to do what Jesus commanded, to follow Jesus, to love God with all their heart. Help them to just lead in missions and giving and prayer. Equip, you have equipped. You've given them everything they need. Just help them to say yes and guide them, Holy Spirit. And thank you, just thank you for this night. We love you. We praise you, Jesus. It's in his name that we close and pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Becca, I've met you before somewhere.
Yeah.
Where?
Did you do some projects in the Third Ward?
This is the kind of church where you know faces, but you don't know names.
No,
you know?
I can't.
What marathon are you running? Okay.
Yes.
So I work with, I helped start an organization that guides blind runners.
Well,
yes.
And so,
you know what?
We,
there you
it's
go.
Definitely not a Christian organization, but.
Oh, yeah, you can have it. I just saw my laptop.
Okay.
I just brought that as a backup. So.
Is it team in training?
Yeah.
No, we started catapults. The Houston Marathon was
kind of our. So I'm going to probably be visiting you.
This last one?
Because we're working downtown with the homeless.
Yeah, I saw a couple of them in front of me. I did
a half. And bringing them here.
Oh,
absolutely. So you'll be seeing us pretty quick.
Okay, yeah. So,
wow.
But no, it's just.
Man.
I'm nice.
250.
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 I'm nice.
250.